This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Philip C. and Wong Xiaoning. Now, in about in half an hour, we do have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, we're taking a look at car thefts. The Vehicle Theft Reduction Council of Malaysia, or VTREC, reported that in 2021, almost 1,650 cars and 2,200 motorbikes were stolen. In fact, they also report that with keyless vehicle theft technology, your car can be gone in 10 seconds.
However, that can be prevented with some simple measures, like never leaving your key in the ignition. Meanwhile, the Star also reported that car thieves have ventured into new ways of stealing cars, which involves paying a small fee to rent a luxurious car, disabling the global positioning system or GPS in them, and then making the car disappear.
Now, according to the Daily Broadsheet, such syndicates are using this new modus operandi since there is limited legal action that you can take against them. Now, some of these stolen cars are sold locally or in Thailand, while some, of course, are stolen for their parts. So what should we be aware of to avoid our cars from being stolen or caught up in a clever scam that seems to have little recourse to legal action?
For some answers, we turn to Daniel Fernandez, Managing Director of online car news portal DSF.my. Daniel, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So first off, help us understand how prevalent car theft is in Malaysia.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Car theft, major issue in Malaysia for many years, major issue in any country if you consider it. Of course, it's reduced quite a bit in Malaysia, I think, because modern cars have very good alarm systems. They have tracking systems in the cars. And our police is doing quite a good job in recovering these cars. But the problem is a lot of people make simple mistakes. For example, when you go to a nice hotel or a nice restaurant, you give the key, your car key to a jockey, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I avoid it like the plague, but yes.
Yes, I never give my key to a jockey. I always park the car myself. Or I ask the jockey, you assign me a car park, I will park it, I will give you the money, you know? But you see, when you give them the key, I'm not saying all of them are like that, but a lot of them can make duplicate keys. Now, to make a duplicate key, you know, you go into a key shop, they make a duplicate key really fast, right? So if you're going to have dinner or drinks or you're visiting someone in a restaurant or hotel, That's enough time for them to make a duplicate if they wanted to. That's number one. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number two, there are a lot of websites that will give you advice. Like earlier you said, no, don't leave your key in the car. I mean, these are things people already know. Don't leave your key in the car. Don't park your car in a dark area. Make sure wherever you park your car, you know, it's relatively safe. But you can't guarantee it all the time. If you go and visit a relative or you go and visit a friend in their home, in your neighborhood, you'll just park it where you can find a parking spot, right?
Yeah.
Right. So now, to prevent the car being stolen, there is no amazing thing that you can do, you know. But you can reduce the effort that it takes the thief to steal a car. For example, a steering lock is not a completely safe way, but it's a deterrent. It takes them longer to cut the steering, remove the lock, and steal your car. So they'll think, this can't take too much. I'll get to the next car, you know?
Yeah. But Daniel, can I just ask you a quick one? You know, these jockeys, are they like part of some big syndicate? Are they like some underworld happening there?
Okay. From what I know, a lot of them are actually just decent guys trying to earn a living. But sometimes the underworld comes to them and says, listen, you know, I'm looking for XYZ model cars. If you give me the keys, I'll give you X amount of dollars, you know? Now, most of them will say, no, I want to keep my job. But some of them, if they are in a tight position, end of the month, they can't, because why? It can never be linked back to them. Mm. You get what I mean? Yeah. You see, because the person stealing the car doesn't steal the car at the hotel or restaurant or place where you gave it to the jockey. They'll take down your number. They'll say, okay, this key belongs to car number WAS1, for example, okay? Mm. And the syndicate goes around with their guys on motorcycles or their tow truck operator friends and says, okay, if you spot this car, let us know. Radio in. We'll come in. We'll take the car.
Okay, but Daniel, I understand that there are also syndicates involved in car theft using this peer-to-peer rental scheme. Help us understand what happens in such a scam.
Okay. Car rental, first of all, in Malaysia, we have a lot of people not doing proper car rental, okay? That means they don't have a license, they don't have proper insurance and everything else. So put them aside, because they are asking for trouble when they rent out to people without proper documentation. So insurance will not cover their cars. But if you have a proper rental agency or these car sharing apps and all that, okay, the people who come and steal these cars, a lot of them might be actually be foreigners or using false identification. So the rental agency, because when you go online and do everything, you can put in a lot of false information. And then you get the car. Once you get the car, you know that the car cannot be linked back to you officially. You can just drive it across the border. And driving across the border, of course, the Thai border will say, okay, we need your car registration document. We need this, we need that. But there are so many other little ways to get across the border without going through customs and immigration. We know that for a fact.
Okay.
So a lot of pickup trucks actually end up in Thailand, especially the Toyota Hilux.
Interesting there, Daniel. I also understand that the police are unable to act against this kind of peer-to-peer rental scheme and that victims are supposed to use civil action instead. I mean, why is that the case?
That is a legal issue which I can't answer because I'm not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I know that at the moment now, there's a lot of these private car rental firms. They've lost a lot of cars. If you go around to certain airport car parks and even a train station or bus stand car parks, you'll notice some cars just abandoned there. Not expensive cars, but reasonable cars. Now, some of these cars are actually cars that have been rented. And the people just, dispose it as they leave the country. That's actually not theft, but they just leave the cars because they've been using it over the time of the rental period. Say the rental period is 1 month, they use for 2-3 months, they can't be contacted, they change their phone numbers because they use prepaid numbers, and then they just leave it in the end destination. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So unless the car is reported, then only the owner gets it back. Mm-hmm. Others basically take the car from day one, go to a chop shop. A chop shop is basically a workshop that disassembles cars for spare parts. That is why the Proton Wheeler right now is the most popular stolen car in Malaysia.
And Daniel, I mean, this is the question I'm getting from some of our listeners now asking, when you talk about all these cases, right, this is old technology, isn't it? I mean, we have new car key technologies applicable. Can these scammers and jockeys get around it?
Okay. For the newer keys, for example, a lot of the German cars come with keys. The keys alone cost $5,000 to $6,000. To duplicate, because you can't go to the shop to duplicate. You have to get the duplicate key from the factory. So when you buy a brand new car, say you buy a $400,000 car, especially a lot of cars now with electric cars, especially the modern electric cars, they use smart entry. So smart entry means it's coded and everything else to a next level. Now, they give you two keys. Now, if you lose both keys or you lose one key and you want to get another key, you can't go to a shop and do it. You actually have to go back to the manufacturer and say, I need a key. They will order it from the country of origin and send it back to you. That is why it costs a lot of money. But I will say this but because I've known of some cases, very high-end car thieves, they can still steal million-dollar cars quite easily. I'll give you an example. Say now you park your $1.2 million sports car outside your house, okay? It's a nice area outside your house. You park it, you go to sleep and everything else. The guy can come in a tow truck, lift it and go.
So he's using an old-fashioned method to steal a car.
Yes. Of course, you need a neighborhood watch and you need to be in a nice neighborhood. And that's why a lot of people live in gated and gutted neighborhoods. But, even the guards there, they're not exactly highly paid people,
Yeah. Okay. Daniel, I have a question, because we read in the Star that, victims of car thefts are going to Thailand to retrieve his vehicle. Now, you told us about how he smuggled it, but yeah. I mean, I'm curious, it sounds like a very dangerous endeavour. Doesn't insurance cover the loss? I mean, why bother going through so much effort to get back a car? And, it's like I say, it's dangerous.
Right. So this article, after you contacted me, I actually had a look at it. Mm. We don't know the full details. So, for example, if it was a basic car, maybe a basic Toyota Hilux or a basic Ford Ranger. Mostly pickup trucks go there. Let's say it's a supercar. Let's say it's a Mitsubishi Evo 8, a very high in demand car, for example, right now. Okay, now Mitsubishi Evo 8 or Evo 7 or Evo 9. These cars basically they transact at around 180,000 to 220,000 ringgit in Malaysia right now, secondhand. Okay, in Thailand the values are similar or slightly higher. Now, if a thief took the car across and the owner is so desperate to get it back, it's obvious that he insured the car for much less. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So okay. It's worth the endeavor to go and get back the car.
Yes. Also, I'm just guessing this. Also, for example, I've got an old car, which is worth, to me, the value on the street is worth about 60,000 to 65,000. It's an old Japanese sports car. But my insurance only gave me a valuation of 20,000 based on the age of the car. So if that car today got stolen and taken across the border, I would say, hey, I want to go across and see if I can find it fast enough, you know? Mm. Because I'm losing not the value of the car. I'm losing more than that because the insurance only paid me 20,000.
Portion.
And you can't blame the insurance companies because insurance companies don't pay for perceived value or, you know, current market value. They pay according to the age of the car and the depreciation that has been calculated.
Okay. So, Daniel, just to sum up, what do you tell people to avoid their car from being stolen in the first place? So don't give your keys to a jockey. Any other practical advice?
For me, don't give your keys to a jockey. If you know your car has got some value, whether it's a Proton Wira or a Mitsubishi Evo or a Subaru Impreza, these are hot cars, or even like a Nissan Silvia or a RX-7, use deterrents. Deterrents are basically things like a gear lock and steering lock. I know it's tedious. I know it's not going to stop them from stealing the car if they want to, but it's a deterrent. The next thing is, like what I do on my car, is I put a tracking device on it, a GPS tracker. Now, a GPS tracker can cost between 400 to even 1,000 ringgit. It's linked to a little SIM card. It's linked back to your phone. So the moment the car has moved, your phone gets alerted. At least it gives you enough time to run to a police station and say, listen, my car is stolen. This is the tracker. Please start, you know, telling your patrol cars to look out for it or your motorcycle cops, you know?
All right.
Because the GPS tracker has to be hidden under the dashboard. So the installation must be done smart enough. Now, I must add, if the thief is smart enough to know that you have a GPS tracker, he can put the car into a sealed container within half an hour and you can't track the car anymore.
Wow.
Okay, Daniel, thank you very much for these tips. That was Daniel Fernandez, Managing Director of the auto news portal DSF.my, talking to us about car thefts and things that we can take or measures that we can take to minimize the risks of our car getting stolen.
I think for me, the interesting story is that if we say that the Wira is the most stolen car, on the flip side, we're having a conversation with him about, I think, more the higher end, the niche cars. And so the question is, where is the disconnect here, right? In terms of issues and solutions that come through for both. Because Wira doesn't have all these high-tech solutions that
Put a steering lock. Make it difficult for people to steal your car, right? It's just to make it as inconvenient for car thieves as possible. Mm. But of course, if your car is already, you know, these are syndicates this and premium. They want your car, they will find it. Maybe not yours, but somebody else's. Because that's a different category of theft completely.
Yeah, and there was a very interesting point about the insurance disconnect here between how much the value of the car is and how much you insure the car for.
All right, it is 8:48 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. When we come back, we'll discuss the outlook for New Zealand politics after Jacinda Ardern. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.